Pacifica National Board Programming Committee meeting. Nancy, may you please take the roll? Call for...
Yes.
9/20/2015. Is it the 20th today?
The
21st. 21st, thank you. 9/21/2015. Nancy, please take the roll.
No, it's 8/21.
8/21, thank you. 15.
8/21. Okay, KPFA, Virginia Browning?
Present.
Present. Jose Luis Frances Roman? Absent. Rodrigo Argueta?
Present.
Present. Okay. Ronald?
Present.
Ronald, present. Lawrence?
Lawrence Ray is present.
Lawrence Ray is present. Janet Coleman, WBAI? Absent. Janet, absent. John Riley, WBAI?
Present.
Present. Okay. Serene Roberts?
Present.
Serene Roberts, present. Good. Oh, good. All right. Teresa Allen, KPFT.
Allen is present.
Yes. Alan Akudim, KPFT.
Hello, Janet is on the call. Coleman.
Oh, Janet Coleman, WBAI. Good.
Hi, yeah.
All right. Alan Akudim, KPFT, absent. All right. Mike Lewis, KPFT. Mike Lewis, absent. Can I hear you? WPFW, Jim Brown. Jim Brown, I cannot hear you. Okay, Benito Diaz.
Present.
Benito Diaz, present. Eric Ramey.
Present.
Eric Ramey, present. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. Absent. Okay, we have quorum. Great.
Thank you, Madam Secretary.
Lawrence Reyes.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. This is Lawrence Reyes, pro tem chair for tonight's programming committee meeting of the Pacifica National Board.
Lawrence, you're breaking up.
Yeah.
This is Alan. I move that we remove Vanessa Dixon Briggs and Jose Fuentes Roman because they have missed three consecutive meetings without excused absence.
Point of order.
Can you hear me now, Eric?
Say again.
Do you hear me now?
I didn't quite. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Go ahead, Eric. You have a point of order?
Yes. It occurs to me that they cannot be removed until the end of the meeting because they still have an opportunity to call in.
Okay, so this
I would rule that that's in interest of fairness. I would rule that that's in order.
Okay.
This is Serene.
Serene. Yeah, Lawrence, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Serene. How are you doing?
Okay, good
to hear from
you.
Point
of order.
Mm-hmm.
Before someone can
state your point of order.
Yeah, before someone can be removed, they have to be notified in writing. I believe in
yes.
writing and by phone.
Yes.
That they've missed. Okay, let me finish whoever that is trying to do, please. They have to be notified in writing. I believe the chair of the board there, or at least somebody in the LSB, the chair of the LSB also has to be notified. And I'm not quite sure if that has happened. So I would ask us to actually approve an agenda on which this discussion of absences may be the first thing. But before we simply jump into doing stuff, let's get an agenda.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the last part.
That
point of personal privilege.
I'm sorry, may I respond to the secretary?
Point of personal privilege.
Sounds like Janet Coleman. What's your point of personal privilege?
Yes, my point of personal privilege is I must get off the phone now. I was misled about certain points about the course of this meeting by the person who called me. Sorry about that, and I'm leaving the meeting right now.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan. Kareem? I'm sorry, I did not hear. What did you say?
I was stop. Saying,
what is all that racket?
Nancy, please stop. Everybody, please stop. I want you to please state that you want to be on the stack, and I will put you on the stack. Anybody that does not have their phone mute before speaking, please mute it, okay? Now, Serene has stated a point of order. Now, let's go to that point of order because I did not hear it. If you could please state it again, Serene.
Okay. So it's actually two points of order in one, which may be out of order. But one is that we should actually approve the agenda, even if we decide we want to make dealing with the absences. The first item on the agenda, we need to approve an agenda. And then I'll make my other point about the absence process, the removal process that was proposed.
All right, so there's two points of order, which I think both are in order. I agree with Eric. I think that and Serene, they kind of relate to each other. Eric stated that we should wait till the end of the meeting if we were to remove anyone. And I said in the interest of fairness, I think that's a reasonable position to take. And then Serene Roberts is stating that both the chair of the LSPs of the respective members have to be contacted, and so does the members have to be contacted in writing. So since these point of orders were made before the agenda approval, I'm going to ask the secretary if those things were done.
Yes.
And both in writing and recording?
Yes. Both in writing and by telephone, but with Jose, I could only leave a message on his phone, but I could not talk to him live. I talked to Vanessa live, and it's too difficult for her. Friday night, it's too difficult for her family. And actually, both Jose and they have both missed three consecutive, but I didn't catch it until until they had already missed three. So actually, they have missed three.
I have a point of information.
And they've been warned.
I have a point of information, if I might.
Go ahead, Eric.
Does an email constitute being notified in writing?
It's required.
So, I mean, it's an email as opposed to a letter, is what I'm saying.
Well,
I would say that it does. I would think that's a reasonable form of communication, unless you want to send a snail mail. Which other way of writing would you suggest?
Alan for the stack.
To answer your question, Lawrence, were you addressing me? I would think an email was sufficient.
Okay, that's what I mean. Teresa, you understand?
I appreciate Nancy's efforts to get the committee together. I would encourage people, if a person does not want to be on a committee, I would encourage them to send an email or to their local station board saying that they don't want to be on a committee. I think then we don't have these questions about, well, did you get a letter to them, for example?
I'm asking for the stack, please.
Okay.
Go ahead, Serene.
Point well taken. Any feedback on this? Before we go to the general. Serene?
Two things. One is my battery's dying, and I'm sorry, so I'll probably drop off in a few minutes. I'll try to rejoin at some point later. But again, before discussing the process of removing people, we need to approve an agenda on which the discussion of absentees can be a part. But we need, before people start telling people what they need to do and send letters here and whatever, let's approve an agenda on which this is only one item.
Okay. Thank you.
And I'm sorry, I haven't been online. So if you send something out in writing, I haven't seen it. I apologize.
Yeah, no. So this is Lawrence, interim chair for tonight. I have not received an agenda in writing either, to email or even on KPFTX.
Eric, to the stack.
Hold on, Eric.
I think someone suggested that tonight's meeting was a continuation of a previous meeting of which an agenda had already been approved.
So the previous agenda, what you're saying is the previous agenda that was sent out?
Yes, applies this evening.
Is it the continuing agenda? Didn't we adjourn?
And we adjourned and agreed to take up as a first matter proprietary or property program ownership. I'm sorry. We didn't complete the agenda from last week, so we decided on a vote that agenda would continue on this evening's conference.
So, Eric, if I could ask you, what would be helpful is that, do you have that agenda in front of you? Because I don't.
I do not, and I don't know who took minutes last week.
Nancy.
I think that was the only matter remaining, as I recall. We discussed program underwriting, and then that took up most, if not all, of the meeting, basically, and we did not get to program ownership because there was not enough network-wide representation on the call.
So that's well taken. Nancy, do you have an agenda from last month?
Yes, I did. I sent to Prog List. I don't know if everybody got it, the draft minutes. And then what had happened is we did not use the word, quote, continuation meeting, but Jim Brown suggested to the committee at the last time that we start at the top with what we had not even touched, and that was programming ownership. And then the committee also wanted to continue to speak about underwriting, and Mike Lewis said he would be sending some things, but he has not been able to send those things yet. And I had put three things on the agenda, possible agenda items tonight, maybe not to do a whole lot, maybe just a few minutes or just a take on from each station how they feel about the LSB report and the managers and program directors report to the listeners with call-in questions and a possible town hall meeting on the air, a two-hour town hall meeting on the air. I wanted to just hear how the committee was thinking. Those are the only things. And then this, what Serene just did, suggested, that we talk a little bit about absenteeism. And I'm following the rules that was passed by the PNB resolution of 2006, where you're to email and telephone the person after they have missed two consecutive, and then you're supposed to send an email to the respective chair and the PNB chair. And I've done all that, and actually they missed three consecutive, these two members. So if they show up tonight, I'm happy. We, even with them or without them, we made quorum. We had nine people tonight, so it's fine. If they join us, that's good. I mean, either way, we're okay.
Thank you, Nancy. So is there any way you could send that out again to the Prog List, or are you saying that you already sent it to the Prog List?
Well, yeah, I sent it to the Prog List, but see, I don't have Wi-Fi in the car, and I'm in the car. I'm sorry.
This is Alan for the stack.
Go ahead, Chief.
Information, please.
Okay, thank you. I'll take the point of information first to receive, if that's okay, and then I'll get to you.
Fine.
Yeah, point of information.
Yeah, is this call being streamed?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Teresa?
Okay. I propose that the agenda consist of call to order and roll call. Item 2 is approve agenda. Item 3 is discuss program ownership. Item 4 is finish the conversation about ethical underwriting, and item 6 would be weigh in on manager's report, LSB report, and town hall meetings. Item 7 is confirm the next meeting, and item 8 is adjourn.
Okay, thank you. That sounds like a reasonable proposal. Nancy, did you get that?
Yes.
Hey, thank you.
I cannot take notes very well. I'm in the car. Actually, I'm parked near the station. I don't know what to do. I've never driven and done a teleconference at the same time. I'm not very good at that. But if someone wants to be like assistant secretary until I can get home, I'm really appreciating it. And if not, well, I will have to depend on the recording that Otis is making.
Okay, it's everyone. Can someone do that, or can we just go with and have Nancy do the best that she can, with you know, her recollection and Otis's streaming. But can anybody temporarily act as secretary till Nancy gets to her house?
This is Eric. I'm going to apologize for not being able to do it. I have cramps in my fingers and just not able to write.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Alan can't do it. I'm multitasking. Sorry.
All right. So we'll just do the best we can. And then when Nancy, when you arrive at your home, you're more than welcome to, you know, to continue doing what your duties as secretary. That's fine.
Mr. Chair. Okay. Alan, for the stack? Is there any objection to the proposed agenda?
Thank you. Are there any objections to the proposed agenda?
Point of information.
Go ahead, Benito.
Can Lisa repeat?
What? Okay.
The agenda, and with regard to notes. I can volunteer to take notes. I don't have time to produce minutes, so I can just talk, Nancy, and record what I have.
That would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, Benito, for stepping up.
Thank you.
Now, Teresa, yeah, I think Benito asked if you could repeat the agenda one more time, and then we'll move to approve it.
All right. Call to order was on number one. Approve agenda was number two. Item number three was discuss.
Program ownership.
I'm sorry.
Program ownership.
Program ownership. And then number four is finish up.
Very difficult.
Ethical underwriting. Number five is discuss. Three items, just kind of very briefly, which was be the manager's report, the LSB report, and town hall meeting. Number six is confirm the next meeting, and number seven is adjourn. I thought I had eight before, but it seems to be seven now.
Okay. Benito, did you capture the essence of
that? I got it.
All right, so can we move to approve the agenda?
I so move.
No objection, no move.
So move.
Okay. All right, so we'll start we already did roll call.
We're on program ownership.
Program ownership, thank you. So are there any discussion about this program ownership issue?
Alan for the stack. Everybody else.
Point of information.
All right, state your point of information, Benito.
Can I define what they mean by program ownership?
Okay, so I think in the discussion we'll get some idea about that, because I'm in the same position as you are. So I got Eric, I got Teresa, anyone else on this issue? Okay. Hearing none, Eric, go ahead.
Thank you, Lawrence. Two things come to mind. First of all, in terms of a definition, the first thing that comes to my mind is all rights reserved. Secondly, at least at WPFW, we do not have a contractual relationship with programmers. I'll just put that out there. It occurs to me, in order to have ownership of something, of programming in this case, we need some type. There would need to be a contractual relationship, and possibly the exchange of funds or capital. But I'll just leave that out of it. We do not have a contractual relationship, and that would be necessary to have program ownership.
Hello, everybody. This is Mike Lewis. I'm joining the conference from KPFT.
Thank you, Michael. Welcome. All right, so we're on the discussion of program ownership, and our members are discussing the definition. Eric from WPFW just stated that. You want to restate what you just stated there?
Yes, that ownership would come under the heading of all rights reserved, or all rights being reserved. And then we would determine who has those rights based on a contractual relationship. At PFW, we do not have a contractual relationship. That's my take on it. It's based on a contractual relationship, and under that, all rights would be reserved. I think that defines, in my view, program ownership.
Okay. Thank you. Are you done?
Yes.
Teresa?
Well, I would like to know, I would hope that someone at the national office would write it up so we are consistent among the five stations, and that the general managers would understand that they have to implement something that is consistent among the five stations. And I would also assume that we should have an understanding for any programmer that's on the air that whatever is on the air is the property of Pacifica, meaning that if you had Jimmy Carter on or any guest, that person would sign something, so we could use that in the future on our archives as a premium, for example. And I think that when someone comes on the air at our station, they sign something to that effect. They should be signing something. So Mike Lewis was going to get something. I'd like to know whether we got that information from the five stations. And I would think that part of the evaluation of the program director is if they make it clear to the programmers to that effect.
Hello, Nancy. Did you all receive the email that I sent earlier today and look it over on underwriting?
No, I haven't received it, Michael.
But we're not talking about underwriting right now.
Yeah, we're not talking
about underwriting.
I think what you're intervene real quick. I think, Michael, what you charged to gather was the issue on program on underwriting. So we haven't gotten to that item yet on the agenda. So
I sent an email on that so y'all could look it over and find out, you know, well, how you feel about what I wrote about it in the email.
Okay, sounds good. And can everybody put yourself on mute without speaking, please? Shireen. Shireen?
She indicated there was power issues with her battery.
Okay, so well, I guess we'll
this is Jim Brown. Did you hear me?
Yeah, Jim. You want to speak on this issue?
No, not right now. Nobody acknowledged when I said I came on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
It's all right.
And that you're on.
I just want to let you know that I'm here.
Great, you're here! Yay! Right on. So who wants to speak next on this item? I see none. Who wants to speak next?
This is Jim Brown.
Point of information.
You got a point of information, Benito? State your point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally confused. I don't know what we're talking about.
I don't understand
what the issue is.
Okay, so the issue I think that we're talking about, and maybe someone else could clarify, is the issue of program ownership. There's been two speakers that spoken on it, and both sounded very germane to the subject matter. So I think what we're going to do now, if you don't understand anything else, if that ain't cleared up for you, then maybe Teresa or Eric could state their points, their previous points, just real quick.
Teresa, did you want to go first? Or?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I said...
Hold on a second. So
Benito, if I can clarify, Lawrence, I heard what both of them said, but I don't understand the context in which they are speaking. What are we trying to accomplish here? What is the issue that we're trying to address?
Okay. So I will call on them too, and then I'm going to call on myself and Jim Brown. Go ahead. Eric?
Okay, I would imagine there are several issues involved. There was Jim might be able to speak to this in a minute. There was an issue, I believe, with Mind Talk. Someone else raised an objection. I don't know what the basis of the objection was, but I spoke to our interim general manager about syndication, and he said to me that there could not be a proper discussion of syndication until the issue of program ownership was resolved, because he was aware that it has been brought up as an issue. So that's the more immediate problem that I see in terms of what we're doing so far as syndication is involved, because we did bring up syndication. Not we, but I think there was a discussion at PFW about it.
Okay. Thank you for that, Eric. Teresa?
Well, perhaps we can ask Jim Brown Jim, that's your show, right?
Yes.
Okay, so was there a question about ownership and syndication?
There was a question at one point, but it was not discussed in any detail whatsoever. We have been bought the show to WPFW, and we own it for the last 22 years now. And we've been broadcasting it that way on WPFW, plus on other stations. But PFW has been the primary station, and no one has questioned who owns it. We consider ourselves owning it. We is our program. We own the program, and one of the outlets for it is WPFW.
So, are you saying that they would, that if the archives wanted to make copies of it, and I contacted the archives and I wanted to get a copy, that some of the money from the archives would have to go to you, or they'd have to get your permission?
Well, we would like a courtesy of knowing that it's done, but we wouldn't want to take any money from the foundation, no. But we would like to know what's going on with it, yeah.
Well, see, this is my point. I know that we have some challenges from like 30 or 40 years ago in where we have made copies of concerts, and we haven't bothered to get signatures from everyone that we have made copies of. And I don't know after 50 years or whether they consider that in the public domain or whatever. I was under the impression that, considering the challenges to the foundation, that there was an understanding that everyone, when we give you the airwaves, that whatever goes out is the it belongs to the foundation. That we give people the airwaves, you know, and the chance to communicate with all kinds of people, but they can't say, well, you can't use that as a premium, because I think we'd have chaos. And I was under the impression that whenever you have a guest on your show, that you should get them to sign and say, you know, this could be, you know, if you have a poet that comes and reads their poem, then it's now, it belongs to Pacifica at that point, where we don't have to think about giving a person, you know, a, what do you call it, a
release.
Well,
some sort of royalty for reading it on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I don't think we'd be able to move forward or have anything in our archives.
There needs to be, may I respond?
Yes, please go.
There needs to be clarification in that area. We haven't had a problem with it, mainly because most of our, we have a talk show. We don't have performances and so forth on our show. But if we play someone's music there, I think WPFW has the right to play that music, because most of our programming is music. But I don't have anything in writing or anything. I haven't had a discussion with anyone to say that there's been anything that was on our program that can't be played on the archive. No, we haven't had that discussion. And we don't have a problem with it either.
Nancy again. Sorry.
Oh, can someone please stop doing that? So I like to call on myself eventually. Did you want to respond to that, Teresa? Just.
I don't know whether we need to put this in the employee handbook or whether we need to have programmers sign off on it, but I think it would be appropriate if we worked on a contract that would be appropriate for all of the stations, so we had one contract that we ran by one attorney and got an approval that this was doing our due diligence to be fair to all parties.
Virginia, for the staff.
Okay, Virginia, I'm going to call on myself, then I'm going to call on you. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so, you know, I see some areas that need to be addressed on this item, and, you know, I share the concerns of everyone, but first I think that if someone has a guess and they do their poetry, the only thing that we will own is that snapshot. The way I feel is the only thing that we will own is that snapshot that he did on the air on one of our shows.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't say that, you know, it should, you know, that his poetry, which may be copyrighted as well, you know, we could take ownership. So I think that would lead us into a legal battle. The other thing is the employee handbook, as Teresa stated. The other thing is the contracts that those programmers may have, or, you know, the rules that they have to follow. Those are units that are represented by unions, their union contracts. So I think what I'm sensing and feeling that we have to do here is form a work group of four people to look at these issues. So that's what I'm almost about ready to rule on this issue.
Alan from the stack.
And direct to the stack following. You're breaking up badly, Lawrence.
Is Virginia up yet?
No. You hear me now?
Yeah.
Am I breaking up?
Alan for the stack. Am I?
Yeah, I got
Virginia was next.
Go ahead, Virginia. Go.
Okay. I'm looking at.
Go, Virginia. Can you speak up, please?
Okay. There's a form on KPFA's website that's called Pacifica Relief, and it addresses exactly this issue. And I guess I could send it if I can find the email address to the list. So it's about getting relief. Should I just email this link?
Can you speak up just a bit?
Yeah. Virginia, you want to try to speak up again and say the new word?
There is a relief. I'm not sure where on here I'm supposed to speak. There's a release form on the KPFA, a link to it on the KPFA website, and it's called Pacifica Release Form, and it addresses exactly what you're talking about. So I can email the link to you.
Please do. Please do.
That would be very helpful.
Yes.
Teresa, are you done, Virginia? I'm sorry.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Teresa.
I say thank you so much, Virginia. I recommend that if we have a group, we might want to have at least one of the program directors on it. For example, our program director, Ernesto Aguilar, is very active with NFCB, and one of our directors, Janice Lang-Stewart, for example, is very active with NFCB as well as her station. These people might have some direct knowledge with what documents need to be signed legally and what we've already have approved.
Thank you, Teresa. That's a really good point. It doesn't necessarily have to be four. It could be more than four. But I'm just thinking the smaller it is, the more effective that the group would be in coming up with the information. So, I think those people are very good people to have on the committee. Okay. Eric, right?
Yes, thank you. You mentioned, I believe it was G. Lawrence who mentioned union, something to do with union or unions.
Those units that are represented by union.
Our programmers, unless I'm mistaken, our program is not represented by any type of collective bargaining agreement. Our paid employees are, but not the programmers.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, there's some programmers over here that are. All right.
Okay.
Gotcha. Okay. Anyone else on this? Jim, you wanted me to go back to you, right, Jim?
Yeah, and Benito.
No.
And Benito, okay. Who wants to go next? Jim?
Benito, go ahead.
I'm just going to say that with regards to membership on a programming committee work group, you can bring on whatever experts you want. And that could be, a PD could be one of those people. But I think it would be very problematic if we start trying to make members of management as members of a PMB committee. So that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, thank you for that, Benito.
Okay.
Jim?
Yeah. Last year, someone floated a document through WPFW that had programmers' rights and so forth on it. And because it wasn't vetted properly, it was a disaster. I mean, most of the programmers were totally against or had some serious questions about program ownership. So something has to be done so that we can, in fact, clear up any misinformation that's out there.